Ramsey TV.
Ladies and gentlemen, I told you yesterday that which is impending being ours in 1 Corinthians 3:22. I said that which is impending had a bit of an ominous tone to it. And it's obvious that the future is ours, but that which is impending, that is the things are about to happen that will prepare this world for the coming of Christ. These are gonna be nasty, ugly things, but they're all being done for us, for our sakes. Now, when Paul says the present is ours too, I see the same foreboding there. I see the same dark shadow that oftentimes makes us feel uneasy in this life, makes us feel dread, makes us feel doom. Isn't it the famous phrase, impending doom? Well, I believe that is what that which is impending speaks of. But I also think that the present speaks of the same thing. And if I would put the present being ours, if I could put the present in my own words, I would say things you are going through. So I would say it this way. All is yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the things you are going through or what is impending, all is yours, yet you are Christ's, yet Christ is God's. Things you are going through. Hello, by the way, Martin Zender from the edge of dawn here at the edge of the Floridan Peninsula. So I want to go to Romans chapter 8 to a classic passage that we all know, but I'm going to bring some new life out of it because for the first time ever, I'm relating it to 1 Corinthians 3, 22-23, all is yours. You know this passage. Let's start with verse 31 of Romans chapter 8. What then shall we declare to these things? That these things Paul is mentioning has to do with whom he designates beforehand, these he calls, whom he calls, these he justifies, whom he justifies, these he glorifies. What then shall we say to these things? These are all good things. Being designated beforehand, being called, being justified, and now in the future, the promise of being glorified. Just so you know here, I just thought of this as I'm looking at this. Being designated beforehand has already happened. It happened in the past, before the disruption of the world. Our calling, that is our understanding this message, that is also something that happened in the past. It's a done deal. Whom he calls, these he justifies. Already done that. We are justified through his blood, through the faith of Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23. And whom he justifies, these he glorifies also. This glorification is the only thing in this list that is future. But the burden of proof for someone saying, no, we're not going to be glorified, the burden of proof would be on them because everything in this list up to that has already happened. So how dare anyone say that being designated beforehand, done, called, done, justified, done, how dare anyone say that the glorification will not be done? The glorification that is ours in the future is just as sure, just as certain as the predesignation, the calling, and the justification. So, verse 31, what then shall we declare to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? There it is. That falls in nicely with all is yours. All is yours because you are Christ and Christ is God's. And if God is for us, who is against us? No one can be against you, not even Satan. This is why I said last week, even Satan is yours. Verse 32, surely he who spares not his own son, but gives him up for us all, how shall he not? How shall God not, together with him, Christ, also be graciously granting us all. Once again, that ties in beautifully with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. He's going to be graciously granting us all. And in fact, he's doing that now. And it's an act of grace. But if you look what precedes Christ's glorification, it's that he spares not his own son. And so, how can he who spared not his own son, but gives him up for us all, shall he not together with him be graciously granting us all? And for you to extract the encouragement out of this verse, you have to see the reward of our Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection to glory. That he has a name above every name, and that he is seated at the right hand of God, and that his blood not only won for the world salvation, but won for him exceeding glory. And he's going to give that glory now to us, which Paul just said, whom he justifies, these he glorifies also. Verse 33, who will be indicting God's chosen ones? God, the justifier? The only one who can indict you, the only one with the power to indict you, is the one who justified you. So how in the world would the one who justified you be indicting you? Exactly. It's a rhetorical question. It's like, duh. Who will be indicting God's chosen ones? God, the justifier? Forget about that. Who is the condemner? Christ Jesus, the one dying, yet rather being roused, who is also at God's right hand, told you, who is pleading also for our sakes. He's the only one with the power to condemn you. Satan doesn't have the power to condemn you. Satan is a servant of God and Christ. Verse 35, what shall be separating us from the love of God? Here's the verse. What shall be separating us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Affliction? See, this is what you're going through now. This is the present. And the things I'm about to list are yours. What shall be separating us from the love of God? Affliction? Distress? You know, you're going through all these things, and Paul is too, and all the saints to whom Paul is writing, in this case to the Romans, they were also going through these things. So take heart in the fact that you're not alone. Not only today are you not alone, but you're not alone as far as our brothers and sisters in past eras, even all the way back to the first century, including our apostle. Affliction, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. Paul was probably at times famished, naked, in danger. We know that by his own testimony. In danger from his own countrymen, in danger in the city, in danger in the country. Everywhere the guy went, the Jews hated him because of his message. Now, verse 36, according as it is written that on thy account are we being put to death the whole day? That's how it feels some days, doesn't it? You're being put to death the whole day? Okay, follow me here. On thy account, we're being put to death the whole day. We are reckoned as sheep for slaughter. All right, that's the bad news. Here's the good news. In all these things, we are more than conquering through him who loves us. Now, the first reaction you would have when you're reading all these negatives things, and Paul presents this question, what shall be separating us from the love of God? And in the Christian world, in our past, we believed that anyone who was afflicted, anyone who was distressed or being persecuted, why, that was not of God. Because God only does good things. God only brings wonderful things. But we know this is not true. God disciplines those he loves. And I'm going to go to verse 18 before I finish this show. And you're going to see it's going to put it all together. It's going to tie it all together. So not only will these things not be separating us from the love of God, Paul says in verse 37, nay, it's like, no, not, these things are not only going to not separate you from the love of God, but in all these things, we are more than conquering. I'm going to unpack this. In all these things, we are more than conquering through him who loves us. I'm only going to analyze the word in conquering more and loves. That's all. And I'm going to do it all on this show. Where do you see? It's kind of like a magic trick, isn't it? No, it's right here explained to us and for us in plain words. First of all, in all these things, in my scriptures, I have that word in underlined so many times that it leaks through 3 pages. In all these things, in distress, in affliction, in persecution, in famine, nakedness, danger, and sword. In. But let me ask you this. What's the first self-imposed task of Christian deliverance ministries? It's to get you out of all these things. Are you distressed? Come up to the altar. We'll pray over you. We'll rebuke the devil. Are you being afflicted? Come up to the front of the altar. We'll get a circle around you of the elders of the church, and we will rebuke Satan, and we will deliver you from all these things. Paul's not talking about deliverance here. The deliverance comes later. Why would we want to be delivered from things? I mean, in the flesh, we want to be delivered from these things. But reading this passage, why would we want to be delivered from things that are for us, that are working for our good? Because all things work together for the good of those. We are aware, verse 28, we are aware. And this ties in with 1 Corinthians 3. We're aware that God is working all together for the good of those who are loving God, called according to his purpose. We are aware God is working all together for good. And in case you don't know what that all includes, Paul lists it. These are the unlikely things, the things that, how in the world could this be working toward my good? Affliction, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. Well, Paul says it is, because it's happening on account of Christ. It happened to Christ. It's happening to us, but the rewards are going to be all out of proportion to the investment of suffering. So in all these things, this flies in the face of the deliverance ministries, who do everything in their power to get you out of these things, because they can't imagine that any of these evils could play a part in the life or the lives of those who name the name of Christ. But we know from Hebrews 12 and other passages, we know because of Paul's own experiences, because of our Lord's own experiences, that these things are part and parcel, necessary prerequisites to our glorification. In all these things, we are more than conquering. Okay, let's focus right now on conquering. Conquering? Doesn't the word conquering belong to military leaders who lead armies to victory in war? That's a highfalutin term there, conquering. But I tell you this, there's no greater conquering on this earth, no greater conquering than to be in these things and to have faith that they are working together for your good, because they're a part of the all things that are working together for your good. I mean, that is serious conquering. It is conquering in spirit. It really is astounding that God and Christ have taught us, and Paul has taught us, this attitude that when we're under these afflictions and distresses, we're not going to throw up our hands. We're not going to try to pray our way out of them. We're going to accept them as the necessary sufferings that will prepare us. This is why it's for you, preparing you for future glory, because it's all about the contrast principle. The contrast principle. More about that tomorrow to end the week. In all these things, but here, this word, more than conquering. More, how can you do more than conquer? This is how, verse 18. I'm going to go back up Romans a little bit here, for it's the same context, though. I'm reckoning that the sufferings of the current era. I could put that phrase for the present. All is yours, the present and that which is impending. All is yours, including the sufferings of the current era. My paraphrase was things you're going through. The sufferings of the current era do not deserve the glory about to be revealed for us. Okay, look at this, about to be. Remember I told you yesterday that the Greek word for impending is mello, M-E-L-L-O, and the concordance says, see, about to be. So the word impending means about to be. So here is a positive thing that is impending, the glory that is about to be. So again, I would say that's obviously yours, but the things leading up to it, the trials, the tribulations, the afflictions, the distresses, they are for us. They belong to us. They're your possession. And I say to you, just possess them. Just possess these things. Just accept these distresses as necessary. I know it's difficult. And I'm not saying you pirouette through it. I'm not saying you sing songs like Paul and Silas in jail. It'd be great if you could, you know, if you feel like singing a song when you're under distress, go ahead, sing a song. Send me the video. I'd like to see it. I'll put it on the air. Sing a song while you're suffering under a cancer diagnosis, or one of your children are sick, or you're losing a relationship. I mean, it's just, these are horrible things. We tend to cry and complain. And, you know, I say, if you can't tell your Creator what's happening to you, who can you tell? So just let it rip. God knows what you're going through anyway, so you might as well just vent to Him. Job did it. You can't help it. Just don't censor yourself. Don't. If you can't tell your Father what's happening to you, who can you tell? So we're more than conquering, and not only do we have a right apprehension of the purpose of these things now, but we understand that these very things will buy for us, because of the contrast, an aeonian burden of glory. Let me read the verse again. You're familiar with it, but not in this light. Here we go, verse 18. For I'm reckoning that the sufferings of the current era do not deserve the glory about to be revealed for us. Now back to verse 37. In all these things, we are more than conquering. That's the more part, the glorification, based on the contrast principle. More than conquering through Him who loves us. Loves us? Sometimes you want to say, hey, okay, God, stop loving me. I got enough love coming from you here with all these afflictions and distresses. But all these things are yours because God loves you. Stop loving me. I get it. I know. I say that too. I got the contrast principle. Got it. Mm-hmm. We can stop it now. I still say that. I got it. The contrast principle. Yes. Okay. That's enough. No, but God loves you. This is, He loved Christ. Even while our Lord and Savior was on the cross, God loved Christ, of course. Because God looks through the suffering, through the pain, through the affliction, through the persecutions, through the distress, and He sees the outcome. You see, God sees the outcome, and He says, just hang in there. When you see the outcome, you're going to love what I've done. You're going to love it. You're going to love it when you see the outcome. And He graciously gives us the outcome. And the word is glory. Glory is the outcome of all these sufferings. What kind of glory, Martin? Is it enough glory? Well, I don't know. Look at the glory of Christ. Look at the Savior, whose name is now above every name that is named. Through Him, all things will be reconciled to Him, both that on the heavens, that in the heavens, and that on the earth. So you see the glory of Christ, and you see your future glorification. In all these things, not out of these things, in all these things, we're not only conquering, we're not only having the right attitude concerning them, we're more than conquering, in that these things are going to buy us our future glory through Him who loves us. You must be convinced, you must be sure that these things are happening because of God's love for you, because He sees what these things are leading to. He sees it. And He's gracious enough to tell us what they're leading to. Glory. The word glory is all through this Romans 8 passage. And so, the present is yours. My paraphrase is, the things you're going through today are yours. Because, quickly here, he says, life is yours and the present is yours. So the present is not just life. It's not just the fact that you're living, because Paul lists life and the present. So the present has to be something besides general life, and it is. It's the things you're going through. Or as Romans 8:18 says, the sufferings of the current era. And so don't think that some strange thing is happening to you. These are the things we're going through. These are the things that were suffered by our apostle, by our Lord, by all the saints of the past. If misery loves company, you got plenty of company, including Paul and including your own Savior. But these things are temporary. They're passing and they're about to end. And they are going to lead. They are going to produce a glorious outcome that could not be possible without the things that you're going through today.